You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Morning. So I was not emotionally ready for that dedication, by the way, guys. Anyone else emotionally ready? I got a bit teary in the back there. So, Chris, hello.
Hello, mate.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Your name is Christopher Wiggins.
It certainly is.
Your nickname is Wiggy.
It is.
So now people can call you Wiggy when they walk up to you.
They can. Been called worse.
Well, hopefully in this church that won't be the case. No. That won't happen. So should we start? Let's start with some of your background. Like, we'll go right back to the beginning, your family life. Where were you brought up? What kind of family dynamic did you have?
I was born in Margate. And then my family were originally from Reading, then they went to Margate, and my dad came back because he was an ice cream man. And the work was all right in the summer, but there weren't much in the winter there, so he'd come back to Reading. And then in the early 70s, they called it the Ice Cream Wars, and my dad stabbed another ice cream man for going on his patch. And so my dad was in prison, and my mum had a bit of a nervous breakdown, and there was just me and my little sister. And, life was quite tough in my early childhood. I was quite feral because my mum couldn't keep control of me. And I grew up in Whitley, and there seemed to be a little gang of kids that were all of a similar ilk. You know, they didn't get on with their parents and that, so we sort of all hung around together, and they were my sort of family growing up.
So did you have any siblings or anything?
I've got a little sister. We're not close. I protected her a lot as a kid because she never had no one, but we sort of drifted apart, and she's married and lives out in the sticks somewhere.
So obviously having that kind of upbringing doesn't necessarily facilitate like a stable upbringing and stuff?
I had a very unstable childhood. School... You know, I was more into earning money on the milk floats and that, which kids could do back in them days. And I tended not to go to school much. And as I got older, I sort of, you know, it was a strange time in the 70s. There was a lot of racism and all that, and I got sort of sucked into that side of things. I've become a skinhead, you know, and sort of grew up with very extreme right-wing views. But it weren't so much that I was right-wing. They were like family. Mm. I belonged to someone, and that's the reason why I got sucked in.
You were just trying to fit in.
Fit in and be liked.
Yeah, well, if your family at home isn't giving you that, you'll look for it elsewhere,
yeah,
won't you?
Exactly.
So, yeah, cool. So that kind of upbringing, your dad being in prison and all this kind of getting in the wrong people, did that mean that you ended up doing some of the wrong things?
Yeah, at the age of 12, we was all sort of glue sniffing, and 13, 14, smoking cannabis, 15, 16, amphetamines, 17, injecting, then heroin, cocaine, and that's basically how I lived my life. You know, till I found God, of course. But
yeah. So all of that kind of stuff, I guess, you kind of didn't... Did you notice anything, like, wrong at the time, or you kind of just thought, oh, this is life, like...
No, I always had a deep yearning that there was something different, that there was something more. And, like, I got into football... hooliganism and drugs and all the rest, but nothing could satisfy that hole in my heart. You know, there was always a yearning, but I always had a hope that someday my life would change, because while I was living like that, I was in a desperate place. I knew deep down this wasn't what humans were meant to be for, you know.
So we've had a chat about your life and story before, and you mentioned before that you're in the background of all of this that was going on in your life, in everything that was going on, you had someone in the background that was praying for you every day?
Yeah, my old nan. She, it's a bit hard actually to speak about because she only died a couple of months ago. She was over 100 years old. But she was a Catholic lady, and I went to Catholic schools, but I didn't really think much of, you know, I didn't know God or nothing really. But my old nan, she used to say to me, "I pray for you day and night, boy, that your life will get better." And when I finally sort of come to this church and I let my nan know, she was so elated, you know, and I was so happy that even though I'm in my 50s now, that all them years of me growing up and all what I, the trouble I caused for her and my family and all the rest of it, that she see her prayers come to fruition. And with Jesus, there ain't no time. There ain't, you know, like James and them are out of wait 7 years, my nan out of wait 40 odd. But God will answer your prayers. He will answer your prayers.
Amen. So what was your rock bottom moment?
My rock bottom moment was I'd been awake a few days on the drugs and I had a big lump on my arm from where I was injecting and all that, and I was just in despair, and I was in the house on my own, and I smashed the house to complete pieces. Just smashed it up. I was despairing. I didn't know what to do. And there was a mirror in the house, and that was the only thing I didn't break. And I looked into it, and I said, if there's a God, what's so wrong with me? Why can't I, my life be different? I didn't know it at the time, but a couple of weeks later, I met a Christian drug counsellor, went to a Christian drug rehab, and from that moment, it's like when Jonah was in the well. He cried out of the depths. I cried out of the depths. No one here will understand how dark my life was. They will never understand how deep and dark it was. And I cried out and God heard my voice.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, you paint... You paint such a vivid picture with that. I mean, I can just imagine you, and I'm sure everyone else can, just imagine you standing there staring into this mirror and everyone around you, everything around you, broken pieces on the floor. Like, it paints such a vivid picture. And then from there, from going to this Christian drug rehab and counsellor and stuff, you're now here up on a stage in front of people, like hundreds of people. How did you get from that to here?
It hasn't been an easy journey, trust me. I went to a place called Geldal Manor. They say a drug rehabilitation centre, but that doesn't do the place credit. It doesn't do the place credit. It is a place of love and teaching, discipleship. But when I left there, I wasn't on a strong foundation. Unfortunately, I didn't make God my priority at the time, even though he was still with me. And slowly but surely, I slipped back into drugs and I got really into the football thing in my sort of late 20s, early 30s, just when I was going around different football grounds, getting in fights and whatever. But again, when you make that commitment to Jesus and you mean it, even if your life goes pear-shaped, he won't leave you. He won't let you be. He will keep on at you. He will not let go. And I'll go back to a few years ago. I was working in a place in Pangbourne, just an handyman job, earning a bit of cash in hand and all the rest. And I met a bloke called Alan Maskell from this church. Didn't really strike a great friendship up with him or anything. I found him a bit difficult. But he honours God. And he does what God says. He talks about the gospel. And even though I didn't want to listen, I knew he was right. And I say to anyone here, never be afraid to speak about the gospel to anyone, because you will never know what an impact you can have on their lives. And Alan Maskell, through talking the gospel, had a great impact on my life, because it got me in these church doors, and I've not looked back since.
So what have you left behind since you've walked through into this church and accepted Jesus?
I've left all my baggage behind. I feel like a passenger in a car and God's driving. I haven't had to do nothing to earn this. That is the amazing thing. You've not got to earn it. You've just got to ask. And he will give. And some people are so poor, all they got is money, or their jobs, or their nice cars, or what. But there is truly an amazing gift you can have, and that is peace and joy in your heart. And God will give you that. He will give you that. And that's what I've got now. When I first come through these doors, I used to sit at the back. I didn't want to talk to no one. I didn't look no one in the eye. And I thought, God, I can't be like these people. But I kept coming, and then God said, I don't want you to be like these people. I want you to be Chris Wiggins. I want you to be who you are. And since I've been Chris Wiggins, God's rewarded me with a job here. He's blessed me so much I can serve the church. In serving the church, I serve my Lord, and I try to do it. I know I moan a lot. People that work with me will tell you that. But I try to do the best I can, and I'm not rich. I've not got an easier life, but I've got joy and peace in my life, and I know I've got eternal life, and that is the greatest gift that anyone can have. Amen.
So what are you excited about the future?
Well, it's just a brilliant journey to be on. I know there's going to be disappointments and heartaches. I've lost 7 people this year to death, you know, and I've had a lot of funerals to go to this year, and that there would have been a time I wouldn't have been able to cope with that, but I've got God. He copes for me. You know, he enables me to move forward. He gives me hope. He gives me a future, and that is my future now, just living that journey with the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
For sharing your story. Thank you very much to everyone for listening. And thank you very much for Nev, for the word you're about to bring.
Let's just show appreciation for Chris's life and for Steve. And is Alan here? He's not here. Okay. We would have thanked him as well, because you just don't know, do you, those little words, those little opportunities which come. If we miss them, you don't know what's been missed. But he took one, and Chris has been a real blessing to us. But let's just give one more praise to Jesus, who changes lives. Yes. And he's worthy of more, but he's worthy of it all. So it's good. I'm just going to share for just a few minutes. And Jamie, I don't know whether we can. Here we are. Don't get religious on me. I've called today's little talk. Strange little title, you may think. For a short talk at church. But I've come to realize that religion has blinded eyes and fooled many people. And it's alive and well in the church. It's alive and well outside of the church, but it's alive and well in the church. I'd actually go so far as to say religion or having a religious spirit is the enemy of true spirituality and faith. Because we think we've arrived, but we're just being religious. And religion doesn't change lives, but Jesus does. Now, I happen to have a very positive view of the church and its future. Did you know there are more Christians alive today in the world than ever before? Did you know the church is growing even faster than the population growth of the world? Which means the percentage of Christians is increasing. I mean, we hear about Muslims increasing in our country and everything else, but globally, the church is increasing at a faster rate. Did you know that the church in Iran is the fastest growing church in the world? We think it's all going down Muslim and Islam, but the church in Iran is being awakened. Did you know that Christians in China could well number over 100 million, which is almost double the total population of the United Kingdom? Europe is an exception, and I'm hoping we'll see that change too. But just because we're not seeing it right now doesn't mean that God's dead, doesn't mean that everything's collapsing. Actually, globally, God's very much alive, and the church is very much alive too. But let's be clear, it's not about religion. It's about life change. It's about sins forgiven. It's about peace with God and a relationship with our Creator and Father through the Holy Spirit. And all of that is missed if we settle for being religious. Jesus spoke out against religion, so I'm in good company. He could see how religious influence could steal away life and passion for God. He saw how religious people were more interested in obeying rules, in observing special days, wearing certain clothes, but there was no life. It was all hollow, and they hated him for it because he exposed it. He challenged them to change their lives and to get real. You see, religion hid the treasure, the truth which was being made available to us. But the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." You see, religion can't do that. Only the power of God. Religion didn't change Chris's life. Jesus did. And this dedication today of little Reuben in some ways has nothing to do with his personal salvation. Primarily it's James and Emma expressing their gratitude to God for this wonderful gift of life and promising today to bring him up in the Christian faith. Of course, our hope and prayer is as Reuben gets older, he'll make his own commitment to Jesus. And he'll become a follower of Jesus too and choose to be baptized. But they're choices that he has to make, not his parents. That's why we don't do christenings or baptizing babies. They may be sweet, they may be conventional, they may be well-meaning, but they're just religious. Often the parents themselves have no faith, and they make promises they have no intention of upholding, but religion says this is what you should be doing. When James was born, I was working in a building society. One of my colleagues asked me when James was going to get baptized. I explained, well, we don't believe in baptizing babies. We baptize believers. And her reaction was, well, you're condemning James to hell. You see, now the Bible doesn't teach that. Guess where that's come from? Religion. Where did they get that from? This is what the Bible does say. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. You see, I have some very good news for you today. Christenings, dedications, even baptisms won't save you. Being a pillar in society, being a regular churchgoer won't save you either. Paul tells us salvation is not a reward for being good. It's not based on what we can or cannot do. This free gift of God comes to us through one means: faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Chris was saying. He just believed. He's not tried to change. He's not tried to be different. He accepted Jesus, said, "Be Lord of my life." And gradually, change takes place, because when he comes, it's inevitable. God saved you by his grace, Paul tells his readers, when you believed. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God saving everyone who believes. And this new life is available to everyone here today. Not all of us have lived a life like Chris lived, thank God. I was brought up in a Christian home with Christian parents. I went to church three times. Well, I had to go to church. Took to church three times a day on a Sunday in my early years. we got a bit religious, I guess. I remember we couldn't watch TV or go to the shops or listen to non-Christian music on a Sunday. We always dressed in our Sunday best because that's what you do when you come to church, as you can see. Okay, a few too many rules and traditions. And yes, I got religious, but then one day in my teens, I decided I needed to make my own commitment to Jesus. And so I did. And I didn't realize it wasn't the full package of life change and transformation, which the gospel is supposed to bring into our lives. And it was later on, when I realized there was an important phrase about surrendering, which I hadn't really taken much notice of before. I was just carrying on. It felt like a ticket to heaven because I'd said the prayer, but living my own way. And then this challenge of surrendering, about putting him first in my life. And when I did this, do you know, I received the Holy Spirit in a dynamic way, the power of God, which changed my life. Now, everything didn't change in an instant, but like I said, and like Chris's testimony explains, there was a gradual change, which is still happening today. We are being changed, not now from sin and bad stuff, but we're being changed from glory to glory to glory. The old has gone. The new has come. I was born again of the Holy Spirit. My new life was being lived from the inside now, not a list of rules which I was trying to keep up with on the outside. Religion was replaced with life, with hope, and with purpose. And what God did for Chris, and what God's done for me, and what God's done for many others here, he can do for you too. You will ask me, well, what's the cost? Is there a price to pay? Well, what's the answer? Yes and no. No, because Jesus paid the price for us. Salvation, totally free. The free gift of God to us. To receive, we simply need to turn to him and believe. By grace, we're saved. But yes, too. Do you know what? It's going to cost you everything. He becomes our king now. He's the one we choose to serve. He now becomes our highest priority. There are certain choices we can't make now because we know they're going to dishonor him. But he comes to give us better choices. He comes to give us life. Life in abundance. Which goes on forever and ever and ever. So I want to say, congregation today, don't let religion blind you to this amazing gospel which Jesus has won for us. It has power to change. Power to change us, power to change our families completely when we say yes to him. So don't get religious on me. Rather, open up your hearts to Jesus. Turn around and let him come into your life. And your life will never be the same again. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Jesus Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you stand together? I'd like us to pray. Maybe we could have some music behind me. Well, we'll have the band as well. That's great. So would you like to just pray a prayer with me? I'd like to ask everybody to say this, and then we will move on. Lord Jesus,
Jesus.
Thank you for dying on the cross for me.
Thank you for dying on the cross for me.
So that I could be forgiven and made right with God.
So that I can be forgiven and made right with God.
I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life.
I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life.
I receive your forgiveness.
I receive your forgiveness.
I now turn from everything I know is wrong.
And I turn from everything I know is wrong.
And commit my life to you.
And commit my life to you.
Please come into my life.
And fill me with your
Holy
Spirit.
In Jesus' name. Amen. We've prayed prayers like that most weeks while we're here. But sometimes there are people who have come for the first time, or they may have come many times, but they prayed that prayer for the first time and really meant it. That prayer can be the opening into a new life. Actually, that prayer, when it's taken and expressed in faith, takes you straight away from darkness to light. Isn't that amazing? Some religions have to work hard doing this, doing that, doing the other. But if you prayed a prayer like that, believing it, right now, at 11:30, you can move from the kingdom of darkness, begin to enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of light, because Jesus has come. He's paid the price that we might live for him. I just want to ask you before we carry on, is there anybody here who today has prayed that prayer for the first time and meant it? Or is there anybody here who's recommitted their life? They prayed that prayer before, but they know they've, as Chris said, you know, they went backwards rather than going forwards with him, and you want to recommit to him today. Would you just like to raise your hand? Well, we're not looking around, but if there's anybody here at all who wants to commit for the first time or recommit to God and enjoy the blessing of God that comes through salvation with him, then there's an opportunity for you to make that response. Is there anybody at all in the building? Thank you. Anybody else just wants to say yes? I can't see at the top there. There's one person over here on my right. Lord, I just want to thank you that today salvation has come to this man's home and this man's life. Lord, you tell us when one sinner turns around, comes to you, there's much rejoicing in heaven. I want to thank you. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for being bold, sir. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. I can see you in the red t-shirt there, and Jackie, we'll just ask somebody at the end of the service just to meet up with you and just to share some more information to help you on this journey. Okay. Let's give the Lord a praise for salvation in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.